Here we are, 14 years later, nobody can do it. Every time I see one, I'm like, fucking useless.
God damn, it's garbage.
Guess what? Never going back into that screen again, because I'll never know how to fucking work it.
Oh, Haas, how you doing today?
You know, I'm all right. I mean, it's... We're recording this on a Saturday.
It's true. It's on a Saturday.
I ran 8 miles this morning.
Nice, nice. I was up early this morning as well, so. Oh, man. But yeah, I would say we were just prime for a new episode. You gonna give me anything for that?
No? Nope.
All right, cool. We're talking about Metroid Prime today on the Video Struck Podcast. Welcome to the Video Struck Podcast, I might say. First off, and we're talking about Metroid Prime today from Retro. That's right. I'm sorry.
Concept is the studio that co-authored Recore, a game that prompted me to think we should do a Metroid Prime.
Though. Yes, agreed. So yeah, so yes, we'll be talking about Metroid Prime today, simply because Recore has hit its release date, and we want to maybe draw comparisons, et cetera, whatever. Fine. Our retro game today, our old-ass game, as it were, Metroid Prime, the first foray into first-person shooter Metroid style. So, for the GameCube?
Yeah. One and two were on the GameCube, three was on the Wii, and then they made that trilogy that was for the Wii that re-released one and two with Wii remote controls.
Right. Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So there you go.
You cool. have that on your Wii U.
I do. Yeah, because you put that on.
Yeah,
yes, it's your put Wii, that on there. It's your Wii U. So yeah, it's like
you paid for it.
You know exactly. you know exactly what's on that thing. But yeah, so we're gonna be talking about that later on. But for right now, we're gonna cover some news and some games we've been playing. Not really. It's basically just games we've been playing, but a little bit of news. So a little bit of news. Last Guardian delayed. Again. One last time. Hopefully.
So last week, well actually it's still going on right now, but at the time you're hearing this, last week was Tokyo Game Show. Mm-hmm. One of the big pieces of news that came out of that was that the Last Guardian was delayed. another thing that came out of that is giving me some pause is that most people that played it said that game looks phenomenal, does not play very well.
Ugh, that's not good.
I would not... I won't be shocked to see that thing come out in December, but based on... If they really... At this point, the game's been in development for 9 years.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's like, well, people want us to refine the controls. Like, a lot of the climbing stuff didn't work so well. A lot of the jumping stuff didn't work so well.
Right.
Fuck it. Delay it another 6 months. Who gives a shit?
It's true, yeah.
What does it matter?
What's it matter 9 years?
Well, the delay that they gave it was, like, less than 8 weeks.
Right,
like, what the fuck are you gonna do in 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, in the scale of 9 years, 8 weeks is like a fucking blink of an eye.
It's true. It's true. Oh, man. It's not so much, like, the technical aspect of a delay like that. It's obviously the press aspect of it. Like, oh, it's delayed again.
Pushes it past Black Friday.
Pushes it past Black Friday. It pushes back behind the holiday seasons for, you know, shopping.
And it ended up getting pushed to the same day as South Park, The Fractured But Whole, last week. That was delayed until next year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be alone in December, other than, I believe, the same day is Dead Rising 4, but it's also a console exclusive, but for the Xbox, not the PS4.
Right.
So it's kind of not up against anything that day.
Sure.
So, you know.
It's doing okay.
I bet both of those games will sell fine,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, man. The press around Last Guardian has started to sour.
Yes.
And I think that... There seems to be, ever since No Man's Sky, a general tenor around Sony exclusives of people kind of started to take stock and said, other than Bloodborne, Sony and Uncharted 4,
right.
Sony hasn't had a good one this generation yet.
Right, yeah.
They like, haven't had Until Dawn, a lot of people don't like Until Dawn.
Right, yeah.
I happen to think that game's fucking rad.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
Drive Club, bad. Knack, bad. Killzone Shadowfall, bad.
Right.
You know, like Little Big Planet 4, bad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there was
they're banking on that Zero Dawn.
That game looks awesome.
That game does look awesome. They're banking on Zero Dawn to be a big hit for them. But yeah, I think you're right. Again, delay it. It's whatever. Might as well.
If it needs to get fixed, fix it.
Yeah, if it needs fixing, fix the thing. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I waited this long, I'll wait longer.
Exactly. I didn't think it was a thing until 2 E3s ago anyway. I thought it was done. So.
Yeah, we hadn't seen it since 2010. Yes. I believe they unveiled it in 2009. They showed it again in 2010, and then it just disappeared. It
just went away. And it was just like, oh, what happened to that bird griffin thing?
That think about adorable? This.
So.
That game, given the fact that it will be enabled for PS4 Pro, technically that game is 2 console generations late.
It is. It's 2 console generations behind. It's crazy. Wow. It completely missed one. Completely missed a console.
Woof.
Right over the lifespan. They haven't
released a new game since the PS2.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Because that Eco Shadow of the Colossus collection doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Shadow of the Colossus was 2005 on the PS fucking 2. 11 fucking years.
Yep.
Christ.
it's a bit of a jump there.
Any other company would have shut them the fuck down by now. You can't make a game.
Yeah.
Their director left and that project fell apart.
Yeah, yeah. They scrambled. They scrambled for it, and then finally Sony put their guy on it.
Tom Cerny.
Tom Cerny and
Mark Cerny.
Mark Cerny. Mark Cerny, like immediately, and then immediately, as soon as it was like it was announced he was on it, and then like that year, and then
they showed it.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, so he's getting something done. Oh, it's crazy.
I can't help but feel like this is starting to sound a lot like Gearbox finishing Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
This sounds a lot like that.
Yeah. So that's Guardian delay. That's our thoughts on that.
South Park delayed.
South Park delayed as well, which, you know, that's whatever, that's fine. They can put one out. They don't have the press on top of it, so they can put something out.
It is an Ubisoft game.
It is an Ubisoft game. They do have that press on it. But
Ubisoft never delays games. They'll just ship them broken.
So. Exactly. So that's kind of like good. That's kind of like good press.
Hey, you learned a lesson.
Hey, good for you. You didn't spit out a broken ass Assassin's Creed. You actually decided to make it work before going in. But yeah, Willow, quit breathing into the mic, please.
That's my dog.
She's being very, very, very lovey right now. But anyway, the next bit of news, PlayStation firmware update. You had something on that.
The PlayStation 4.0 firmware update came out this week. It made a lot of changes that I don't necessarily like a lot of the new UI stuff, like... To actually turn the system off, you have to go through another sub-menu after you hold down the PlayStation button, which is mystifying, which makes, like, half the time I'll usually turn my TV off and I've memorized how to turn off the system, so it's like, hold down the button, hold down 4 times, and then push up once, and then it turns off.
Right.
And I have to go through these sub-menus, and it's a whole other thing for me to memorize, but I have an issue with the fact that they made, you know, this whole pomp and circumstance about the 4.0 update was going to release HDR support for the standard PS4 and the Slim, and also pave way for the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Right. And that
there are no games that have HDR support.
Yeah.
I have an HDR TV, so I was stoked. I was like, oh, what did they patch?
Right.
Oh, did they patch Uncharted 4 for HDR? That'd be sick.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'll fire that back up.
Sweet, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing there. Are they waiting a day? Like, what are they doing? Like, what? It's like, oh, yeah, we forgot to actually put things in it for you.
It's me shaking my head and holding my hands in the air.
Audibly doing so. So how is the firmware? Is it just
it's fine. Yeah. Like I did like one thing they added, like you can now like group games into folders, so it's not just like that stupid sprawling list.
Right, yeah.
So you can kind of parse things up. It's similar to the pin system that Microsoft has with the Xbox, just not quite as user friendly.
Sure, sure.
There you go. But I still don't. The PlayStation user interface, you look at it and you go like, man, this thing's slick, it's fast, it's like kind of everything that Microsoft's Xbox One interface is not.
Right.
But then the problem is, like, yeah, it's snappy and all this stuff, but if you ever have to find anything in there, like device settings and all sorts of shit,
right,
you have fucking luck. I never know where anything is in there. And I use that thing kind of a lot.
Yeah, it's just buried in the
thing. Everything is just deeply buried. But whatever, it's fine, whatever. Make a game that does HDR, please.
Right. Make a game
that patch PT with that.
Patch up some PT. That'd be okay. We also played some games. You did. You played
One other piece of news.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like multi-part news.
Sure.
They added stuff into the first Resident Evil 7 demos that you can go back. Like, if you remember, right, like, finding the dummy finger and stuff like that, you can actually use that now. There's an item that you can find.
Okay.
You can find bullets now, but you can't find a gun.
Okay.
Yet.
Yet. All right.
Which is kind of cool.
That's kind of
and
all
then
right.
They also released a new demo that has a mansion in it.
It has a mansion. It has the mansion in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and
correct?
It introduces you to the family a little bit more. I haven't actually played the demo yet. I've just kind of heard impressions, and I saw the new trailer.
Yeah.
I plan on downloading the demo, and once it's dark tonight, giving that a go.
Right.
I'm cautiously curious about
sure.
that new Resident Evil.
Yeah.
What I saw to that new trailer, that game looks better.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that shitty visual stuff in that E3 demo seems to be cleaned up a bit.
Right, yeah.
Those fucked up spider webs and all that
sure,
shit.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the bad shadows and stuff seem to be cleaned up.
Right.
Which is important because we're getting pretty close to that game coming out in January.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like they did that. And also, they're making a remake of Resident Evil 1 for mobile? That has kind of a chibi look to it.
Oh, really?
The little chibi style. Super deformed.
Super deformed giant heads.
Let's do this.
Adorable zombies moaning at you.
Mm-hmm.
Usan. Usan. Usama. Jurufil-san. Notice me, senpai.
But yeah, so that's my last piece of news.
Cool. Awesome. And let's get into what we've been playing. What have you been playing? You've had the Dead Rising.
I snagged a copy of the re-release of the original Dead Rising.
Mm-hmm. Frank himself, old Frank.
Yeah, as we have documented many times on this show,
yes.
I happen to really like Dead Rising. Whether
right.
it's Dead Rising 1, 2, 3, stoked about 4.
Yeah.
I've been a big proponent of that series. Off the Record was really awesome as well.
Right.
They re-released Dead Rising. They're calling it the triple pack, but it's not 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
It's 1, 2, and 2 Off the Record.
Oh, okay.
And you can buy them in a triple pack digitally for $50, or they actually made them on disc or digital, $20 a piece.
Okay.
And yeah. I own 2 and Off the Record on PC, which are these Xbox and PS4 ports are just ports of the PC game.
Right.
Because those already looked good. They ran at 60 and all that other stuff. But this is actually the first time, other than the 360, that Dead Rising 1 has ever been re-released.
Right.
So they gave it a decent coat of paint. It's a much older game
right.
than 2 or Off the Record.
Sure.
At 1080p, especially being up-res to 4K, it runs at 60. There's some pretty massive frame rate issues with specific weapons in Dead Rising 1.
Mm-hmm.
The sledgehammer kind of makes the frame rate go to shit.
Yeah.
I showed a bit of that when I streamed the game the other day.
Yeah.
But it's specific weapons, and I'm sure they'll patch that, and it's whatever.
Sure.
But it's apparently persistent across all platforms.
Right.
So hopefully they'll patch that, but yeah, played a bit of that. Got up to the clown chainsaw boss.
Chainsaw boss.
That still
with
is unnerving.
With the best chainsaws in the game.
Yeah, especially if you couple it with those two magazines that you can get to make your weapons last forever. That
yeah.
chainsaw just kind of lasts forever.
Kind of lasts forever and just tears everybody up.
Yeah.
So.
And until you end up getting the full Mega Man suit with the Mega Buster, that's about as good as you get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll play some more of that. I'm actually kind of enjoying that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a much different game to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much harsher game. Around 2, especially Off the Record and 3, they really leaned into the idea of A, co-op, and B, it being kind of freewheeling and fun and goofy, and zombies
sure.
are basically not a problem.
Right. Yeah.
In 1, they're still very much dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. In 1, they're dangerous. Yeah, yeah.
And, but it's fun. Like, I do, going back to that game, I do really miss the crafting system. from 2 in the later from games.
2, yeah, 2, 3, yeah.
You know, being able to make, like, a paddle saw and all that stuff is really fun.
Yeah.
But it's really an interesting piece in time.
Right.
To see Dead Rising 1. And I said this the other day when I was streaming this, and I really believe this. Dead Rising 1 is the game that paved the way for something like Demon's Souls and Dark Souls to happen.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's a return to, yo, hard games are satisfying.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And Dead Rising 1 is, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying.
It is, yeah.
And it's punishing.
You have to get to certain points in very short amounts of time. In that game, and you're just in a swarm of zombies.
And that game's arguably more punishing in a lot of ways than something like Dark Souls is, because it's not just, well, I'll just go ditch those souls. It's like, you know, I might have lost 30 minutes of progress here.
Yeah.
It's not 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a time. It's significant amounts of time.
Yeah, yeah. And then towards the end of that game, when the army comes in, and if you keep getting arrested, that kills your time loop, your time loop there. You have to keep breaking out. It's insane.
Yeah, but so. That's a decent port of that game. Like, mm-hmm. I've been playing it on the Xbox One. I think it looks fine, but it sounds like across all platforms, basically similar performance across the board. So no matter where you play it, if you want to go back and play any of those older games, it sounds like they're all in pretty good shape.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. There's another remaster that came out, BioShock?
Yeah, they released, for consoles last week, they released the BioShock Collection, which is a remastered 1, a remastered 2, and for the consoles, they got basically the PC version of Infinite, which is a substantially better game than the consoles got last generation. The console ports of that weren't necessarily GIMP, but they lost a lot of texture detail, didn't run a very good frame. You know, kind of across the board, that game had been chopped down so that it would fit.
Sure.
So I have the PC versions of 1, 2, and Infinite, and what they decided to do for PC, since there is no enhanced version there, if you own BioShock 1 and 2, they just gave you the remasters for 1 and 2.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Originally, they were saying, like, it'll be $4 a piece, and then I guess about 2 months ago, right after Bethesda said they were just going to upgrade people who had the Legendary Edition on Steam of Skyrim to remaster for free, 2K just came out and said, yeah, we're going to do that too. It just makes sense. Like, dinging people $4 for that, especially now that I've played it, the minimal improvement that you get in that, I think if I would have paid $4, I don't think I would have been upset, but I wouldn't have felt like, oh, that was worth my money.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The BioShock 1 remaster, I spent about an hour and a half with each of these, but the BioShock 1 remaster, you know, you notice more than anything, lighting is improved in the first game. It looks like they added a new lighting engine to it, probably the one from 2.
Right.
Into the original game. It's probably the most improved out of the two of them.
Right.
But, like, they didn't change textures.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily look like everything's running at a crazy higher resolution. But the thing I would say is that the most starkly, like, disappointing thing about that is that 1 and 2 are significantly missing features that you would associate with a PC port.
Yeah.
Resolution, anti-aliasing option levels, texture filtering levels, water detail levels, like all the stuff that you kind of associate with the shadow texture detail.
Sure.
The stuff you associate with a PC game, it's just not in here.
It's just not there, yeah.
And you know, there's no advanced options for you to go into. Nothing. It's just like, set your resolution, and do you want VSync on, and that's about it. And I don't know. I just don't feel like they're very improved graphically. Now, if you're somebody on a console who's going from those last generation versions to this, you're going to be like, this looks great.
Right.
And you're on consoles, you can't tweak features and everything.
Right, yeah.
And those versions are fine. I have encountered one issue for the PC on BioShock 2 specifically that it sounds like is kind of prevalent. That game runs at a smooth 60 for me, except, like, occasionally it'll run at, like, 10 frames a second for about 15 seconds, and then bam, back to 60 out of nowhere.
Wow.
And it's not about streaming textures. It's not about going into new areas. I'll be in the same room.
Right.
I'll go in and out of the pause screen, and then it's just like, I don't know what to do. And
I don't know.
It's, you know, it sounds like your mileage may vary. Some people are saying that they don't have it. I have a fairly modest PC.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would definitely, you know, just be aware of that. Odds are they're going to patch that. Odds are they're going to do what they did with, like, Crysis 2 on the PC.
Right.
And patch in all the stuff that you want, let you tweak those numbers, you know, let you get the values higher and things like that.
Right.
But, yeah, it sounds like, especially if you're a console gamer and you're wanting to revisit BioShock, this is probably the best way to do it.
Right.
It's all the single-player DLC, including Minerva's Den for BioShock 2, which is way better than BioShock 2.
Sure.
But there is no multiplayer for BioShock 2, just be aware.
Okay, yeah.
So all that multiplayer from that game is gone.
It's gone.
But that's, everything else is in there. So including the season pass from Infinite, it's all in there. So,
right.
Yeah, but that's kind of my thoughts on BioShock Remastered.
Cool, there you go. You also have Forza Horizon 3 demo, which we played a little bit of before this podcast.
Yeah, we ran through about half of that demo. I played that demo 4 or 5 times now.
It didn't show at all, no, that you'd played it that many times.
I'm of the opinion that that is the best-looking console game I've ever fucking seen.
Gorgeous, that game.
Holy shit.
Absolutely gorgeous, that game.
Fastest game.
Yeah, yeah. It looked so quick.
Yes.
It looked so fast. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Because it was very telling because, like, there would be, like, parts where, like, you're on a beach or you're on a track. You don't necessarily get the feel of, like, or you're on a beach or, like, a widespread of something. You don't necessarily get how quick you're going until suddenly you're on a track again. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you're flipping by everything that's small here, you know. It's very amazing to look at, honestly. A lot of off-roady stuff, too, which is cool. And it takes place in Australia.
Yeah, they had dune buggies and rally trucks and, you know, like those Baja 1000 vehicles. And, like, this game, yeah, yeah.
It's a good game, it is, yeah.
I'll be honest, man, it's the one thing that's really tugging at my heartstrings, making me want to go out and get a slim Xbox One.
Sure.
Because those do HDR.
Right.
And I'm like, man, the lighting in this game looks so good. Man, what if I got like 10,000 times the gradient of detail and lighting?
Yeah,
and,
no kidding.
But yeah, I'm blown away by the graphical fidelity of that game and would really, really like to lay my hands on it. And I will next Friday. Sadly, I won't get to spend too much time with it. Because next weekend is, I'm a season ticket holder.
Yes.
For Kentucky Speedway. And it's race weekend, but, yeah, next Sunday I'll, be laying hands on that quite a bit.
Yep. Yep. There you go. Our last bit we want to talk about, we don't talk about it too much here because we do have a video series coming out this week, where we talk about a lot of it, but, ReCore. We played ReCore for the site. You can check out our YouTube videos going up there, pretty soon. If they're not up now when you're listening to it, you can go to our YouTube page. It's Video Destruct on YouTube, so go check it out. But anyway, so we played ReCore, the new game from Inafune and Retro Studios. So
it's a combination joint between Concept, Inafune's new studio, the one that brought you Mighty No. 9, and the technical heavy lifting appears to have been done by Retro Studios,
right.
The folks that brought you Metroid Prime,
right.
Donkey Kong Country Returns, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. So yeah, it's definitely, you can feel a lot of the Metroid influence in here. You can feel a Legend of Zelda influence in here.
Sure.
You can definitely...
You got a bit of a, I don't know.
It's a game out of a time capsule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This game, I said this during the video, and I really feel this way. That game feels like it's from 12 or 13 years ago.
Right. Like, just the gameplay aspects
yeah.
in general. Like
yeah.
Just, yeah, the way it plays, everything that's going on, it's like, I think you put it, like, if you said it was the same year as, like, a year after Beyond Good and Evil, like, be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know? It feels like the natural progression of those other teams that were chasing that Legend of Zelda ball.
Yeah.
This is where they would have gotten to.
Right.
And especially when you couple it with the fact that, I'm not saying compared to games from 2003 or anything that it looks this way, but this game, when you start coupling it with, like, bad frame rate, kind of uninspired story direction thus far.
Sure.
And poor textures. Yeah. Other than the main character and her robots themselves, I feel like the textures in this game are poor.
Yeah, it's very... The rocks look pretty N64-ish in certain cases. Not that bad. It doesn't look like a nightmare. It doesn't look like a waking nightmare like that, but it's not great.
Now, a lot of this is apparently due to the fact that the Xbox One version that we were playing is not the one that you should play.
Right.
Apparently, if you have even a moderate to low-end PC that could play just about anything on the market, it will look and run and load faster than that Xbox One version.
Right.
Which is weird. Yeah. I definitely feel like this was a PC game that was being made that Microsoft stepped in and said, hey, why don't you make that an Xbox One game? And they continued to make that PC game and ported this to the Xbox.
Right.
This game is kind of a technical mess on the Xbox. It runs at a poor frame rate. It's got bad texture issues. It's got animation glitches abound. It's got collision detection problems abound. We encountered several instances of poor particle effect rendering.
Yeah.
It's... And man, the charge look of the fire weapon that you get...
It is the literal worst thing I've ever seen. Like, it...
It looks straight out of Buck Bumble.
Yeah, it did! It was Buck Bumble. Oh, man, it's literally just three... It's the same orb that just increases in size with no in-between animation.
No particles.
No tween animation, no particles. There's just a freaking moving texture on an orb.
Like a really low-res texture.
Really low-res texture. It doesn't even look good. There's no particle around it. It's so bizarre.
Imagine blowing up a balloon, but instead of actually watching the balloon blow up, somebody just mailed you three pictures of it deflated, inflating, and then inflated.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Oh, man. It's so poor to look at. And there were times, I didn't even point it out when we were doing the video, there were times where you were charging, and then you did the dash sideways, and there was no cut, there was no in-between animation. You were standing there with a charging shot, and then... Dashing, cut, hard cut to dashing.
This game does seem interesting. It's very Legend of Zelda. If you're into those kind of games where basically you have a big overworld, dungeons and sub-dungeons, you go and you can find weapons, you can find gear, you can unlock other stuff, solve a mystery, all that kind of fun stuff. It seems like it's got a fairly strong female protagonist. The game's got a lot going for it. Play this game on a computer.
Right, yeah.
The load times on this game... can be 2 minutes long.
Yeah, we sat around for a bit. It was something.
I haven't seen load times like that that are not the one-time-only initial loads before an open-world Grand Theft Auto game that you only see fucking once.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Yeah.
That is... I mean, incredibly long.
The closest one that I can say of is the respawn in Bloodborne before it was patched. That was long. That was like 5 to 6 minutes.
Oof.
That was insane. But that's the one. Like, that's the only one. But that was patched within 2 days, I think. They came out and patched that.
I think that was tied to a firmware issue.
It probably was. There was something weird, but there were actually people saying that Bloodborne was actually burned onto their TV screen.
Yeah, if you had a plasma, it would apparently burn onto your TV.
It would burn onto your TV because it was just black and bright white Bloodborne on it. So yeah, but no, it might seem like we're being kind of hard on the game. I think we're being critical, but...
The reason I am...
Sure.
is that I kind of like the game.
Sure, yeah, and you want it to be better than you definitely on a game that you care about, and a game that's like, I'm probably gonna maybe try and finish this. You don't want it to suck.
I don't want a 15-hour game,
right,
for an hour of it to be load times.
Right, to be load times.
Also, the other thing, like, just from the reviews that I've read from friends that I have that have played through this game, you should know that this game dumps you off a cliff after about 8 hours, and you're leading up to this big conflict, and you're like, all right, I'm going to go to this last dungeon, and then you have to spend about 7 hours farming objects in the world.
Right.
With no story.
Right.
With no connecting tissue.
Ugh. That's brutal. That's brutal. You're basically bug hunting.
That's damning.
You're bug hunting in Twilight Princess. That's what I equate that to. Or map hunting in Wind Waker and feeding it to Tingle, and you don't have enough money, so you have to do more trips, and ugh, it's the worst. Artificially elongating the game is never a fun thing.
You know what? If this game was 10 hours long...
Right. 30 bucks?
No, and 40 bucks. And
40 bucks, yeah.
And ran half as good on the console as it did on the PC, it's perfect.
Right.
You don't need all that extra padding.
Right.
I've seen this a lot this generation where people are like, we need to make this game 20 hours so people don't sell it back too quick.
It's true, yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same solution as last generation whenever they said, oh, we got to put multiplayer in here so people don't sell it back. And then they accepted right. The fact that people aren't going to stop playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
what they did is that they just started making, like, the only time I've seen it work out this generation well is Alien.
Yeah.
And that's because that game runs fucking awesome. That game has tons of story. That game has tons of lore. That game remains engaging throughout.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That's, like, the only, like, game that I thought would be 8 to 10 hours that turned out to be 20 to 25 hours that I ever thought, wow, that's awesome.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
There you go. So there you go. But yeah, that's, you can go check out our episode on it, or our episodes on it.
I would recommend, if you are an Xbox One person and you are curious about this, I would recommend waiting for a sale.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I would keep your ear to the ground about what they plan on doing to patch this. They have said, we can fix some of the frame rate stuff, and we can fix some of the loading stuff. We're going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I need to see them follow through with that.
Yes. Yeah, it would be nice to do that.
If the textures are slightly higher resolution.
Yeah.
And that game runs at a better, more consistent frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the load times are maybe half as long. I'm fine with a minute.
A minute
I can goof around on Twitter for a minute.
For a minute,
but when I'm sitting there for 2 minutes, like, there was a certain point, like, during one load scene where I just looked at you during the video and went, like, is this over?
Did we edit? Did we end it here? What do we do? No, it's a fast-paced world out there. You can't be having all this dragging around. It's fast-paced. Gotta have our stuff now.
This is what Nintendo was talking about with the 64, man.
We're a bored people, damn it. Like, we're a bored people. We need entertainment. We need it now.
Dude, I have, like, when I get home after work, I have, like, 70 to 80 minutes that I can goof off before I have to go to bed.
Right.
I'm not going to waste 10 of them on load times, all right?
I agree. There we go. But, yeah, so that's ReCore. That's all the stuff that we played. So I think it's time we go into our topic of the day, which is Metroid Prime.
Yeah. Or, when it was announced, the end of all human fucking existence.
A first-person Metroid There was a lot in that realm that was gonna end all of the things, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, it was, I believe it was the same Nintendo press conference.
Yeah.
They unveiled Metroid Prime and people fucking got so mad.
Yep.
And they unveiled Wind Waker
and people were pissed at that art design.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Early on GameCube days for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. But now,
Firestorm. They created that Firestorm because they made their fans so weirdly fucking obsessed.
Well, I mean, did they make their fans obsessed? I don't know. Like,
well, think about the way that they just fucking drip feed you bullshit.
That's
all
true.
The time.
They do drip feed a lot of stuff. But You know, I think it's up to the individual to stammer your own judgments about things and maybe just have a little bit more of an open mind, because that's two loved games now. Because
you know what I chose to have an open mind about this week, and I watched the trailer for and thought, what?
Yeah.
That seems kind of okay.
Resident Evil 7?
Metal Gear Survive.
Metal Gear Survive. Oh, okay.
I watched the trailer for that and went, that's not a Metal Gear game, but that kind of looks sort of fun.
Why is it called Metal Gear? But why not? That's kind of what I said about it. I was like, you know what? I bet that'll probably be a pretty fun game, but why has it got Metal Gear?
I think their universe conceit for why it happened is sort of funny to me.
That is kind
of
funny.
To me, it seems like the Bizarro episode of a Superman show. And I'm like, oh, that's all right.
Yeah, it's like, what happened? Oh, this happened.
Now what if Lois Lane became Superman?
Oh, it's amazing. Anyway, But two loved games now.
Yes.
Wind Waker is beloved, remastered, everybody loves it.
Everybody who was writing fucking petitions about that will never admit it.
Will never admit that they did that.
They will never admit that.
Never again. But it was, they hated it. And then Metroid Prime, just, oh crap, believe it or God, first person shooter. When I saw that, I was like, oh, really? That sounds pretty cool. That seemed interesting.
The thing I thought whenever I saw it was, I hope it's still exploration.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That was the one thing I was reticent about, is that sure. I hope it's still a Metroid game.
Exactly. If it's just a shooter, then, if it turns into a Doom,
If it turned into that new Doom.
If it turned into the new Doom, that'd be okay.
That'd be all right. Spoilers, that might be my game of the year.
That might be the game of the year this year. Who knows? Haas is 2016. Metroid Prime. I don't know, you got the Rolodex of knowledge on this one?
Want me to do the thing?
Do the thing, brother.
Alright, so for Christmas of 2002, Nintendo chose to launch Metroid Prime, which, and I'm going to have to loop this other game into the conversation, and I'd like to talk about it specifically on a separate episode, but this was released in concert with the Game Boy Link cable and Metroid Fusion.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Metroid Fusion is actually called Metroid 3 in the initial load screen.
Oh wow, really?
Yes, Prime is right after.
Okay, yeah.
So it's the continuing adventures of Samus.
Right, yeah.
Well, the
yeah.
great thing is, Metroid Fusion, you can actually play through the whole game on your Game Boy Advance, SP, whatever it is.
Sure.
And earn all kinds of upgrades, and then you can use your Game Boy Advance Link cable and send stuff over to your GameCube save and send stuff back.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So there's exclusive various suits and stuff like that you couldn't have had otherwise.
Right.
So it was kind of, for the day, a pretty ambitious undertaking by Nintendo to go this route, because the Game Boy Advance was new, it had launched earlier in that year. You're going to have this, you're going to have your Metroid integration here, dual game, both being helmed by Retro Studios, a fairly unproven studio at that time.
Right.
So you end up with something that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime is, to just go ahead and start it off this way, Metroid Prime is a first-person game that doesn't control like any other first-person shooter you've ever played in the modern era.
Right.
Metroid Prime is a single-stick game.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a dual-stick shooter.
Right.
That uses a very impressive lock-on tech that's very similar to what you got out of Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
And the great thing about the game is that the game has a very quick ability to, if there are many small, like you'll have certain instances where there's like a swarm of 100 little insects flying at you, you can actually aim and unaim and re-aim in between all those in really rapid fashion, and it just works so well.
Right.
That GameCube controller feels like it was built for Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
It's the best game I've ever played on that controller.
Right. There are some games in the Nintendo libraries of each of their consoles in which it feels like this was designed because this game was being developed for it. And it
didn't exist on the Wii U until Mario Maker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that was a long, long haul for that one.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Most of its life.
Yeah.
So let's go a little bit deeper here. So Metroid Prime, it's a single-stick shooter. The game goes a very long way to open itself up to people who wouldn't play a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Being the single-stick format, being the auto-aim format, if you click the right trigger down, you can actually use the left stick to do a free aim. And one of the first things you do, you land on this platform at a space station outside of the planet you're about to end up landing on once that thing blows the hell up.
Right.
Spoilers.
Spoilers in the... opening of Metroid, the thing blows up.
Yeah, in the first 30 seconds of that game. But yeah, you end up one of the first puzzles, you have to use the lock-on to shoot these little red dots, mm-hmm. And then you have to use the free aim to look up, and then you can actually click the left trigger as you release the right one, and it will lock onto that upper sight.
Right.
You can unlock all those, and it's how you open the doors.
Right.
Well, this was all crafted around the idea that Japanese people need to play this, European people need to play this, and American people that aren't shooter people need to be able to play this.
Right.
Halo may be successful. It had been out for almost a year at this time on the original Xbox,
right.
And GoldenEye was kind of a big deal on the N64, but N64 GoldenEye is predominantly a single-stick game, mm-hmm. and it's only if you use the butterfly controls that you can actually use the stick as a look stick.
Right.
And I would say that probably 90% or more of people that ever played GoldenEye probably never used butterfly controls.
No, they never used the butterfly.
That was a single-stick game for most people.
Yes.
So, they kind of, from its foundation, after they designed the control mechanism around this game,
mm-hmm.
They sat down and they said, okay, how do we make this a Metroid game? What is Metroid about? Metroid is about exploring and learning and understanding.
Yeah.
So, they created the scan visor.
Right.
Every single object in the world can be scanned.
Yes.
So, you hit left on the D-pad, and you hold down the left trigger, and it will highlight on the object. It will let you know immediately based on if it's lit up or not, if you've ever scanned this. And once you've scanned an object once, you never have to scan it again. And that actually counts into your 100% completion percentage.
Right.
And so they filtered all this in here, and it gives you lore every time you scan that. It tells you what it is, where it is, what the chemical makeup of it is, if it's an alien structure, what they know about it, all this other stuff. It gives you a good deal of information about this universe. And it's very, very interesting in this first bit here where you land on that bounty hunter base, that space station that blows up, that causes you to have to fall down to the planet after it does the abilities. You start off Metroid Prime with everything you got. You got missiles, you got charge shot, you got ball mode, you got all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just like most Metroid games, latter era, they call it the abilities, where you start off with everything, and then something happens and you lose it all.
Right.
But yeah, you basically walk through here, you're scanning stuff. It does what Metroid is also very good at. It does platform jumping. If there's one thing that up until this point had never been done well in first-person shooters, it's platform-specific jumping.
Right.
That was always very hard.
Yeah.
But they designed the graphical presentation of Metroid Prime in such a way that you got a scan visor mode,
mm-hmm.
but that also gave you a wider field of view. Despite the fact that your screen is actually obstructed like it is in something like a Halo,
right?
They actually use this so that the world is actually, you can see more of the ground and closer to your feet than you can in most games.
Right.
And they do another trick that I think is really impressive. Whenever you jump and you're moving forward, the camera pans down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can see where you're going to land.
Right.
Given your velocity, I will land here.
Right.
And you never miss a jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even later on, when you're doing double jumps and, you know, ball boosts and all that stuff, it becomes incredibly easy.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that they decided to do as a technical decision, also as an execution decision, I believe, is that whenever you go into ball mode, third person.
Right. Third person, it zooms out from third person. That was one of the things that was really cool on the first trailer, is when it showed you go into ball mode. It was like, because I always wondered, like, how are they going to do ball mode? You're first person. Does that make any sense? And
are you going to be like a weird bumper cam for a car?
Exactly,
are you going to be banging into everything?
Yeah,
no, it's really not that way.
Right, yeah.
And they managed in that first Metroid Prime to basically encapsulate all the great boss fight styles
mm-hmm.
that you've seen before,
yeah.
While integrating that into a 3D world that gives you the kind of satisfaction that you get from beating and understanding a boss fight.
Right.
So even in these boss fights, it's crazy. You walk into a room and you're like, oh, there's a boss over here. Yeah. Hey, let me scan you.
And, I gotta scan you first.
And you'll get information. Then, specifically later on, as the bosses change form, you have to scan them again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he's in a different form now. Yeah. Oh, this old attack won't work anymore.
Yep.
Now, instead of him being up on this pedestal, he's down on the ground. If I change into ball mode, he'll eat me and I can make him explode.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the way that that gameplay seamlessly brought everything that was great about 2D Metroid into 3D is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll tie Fusion back in again. I was playing Fusion at the same time as Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And Fusion is one of the best 2D Metroid games ever made. I would say it's top three.
Wow. Yeah.
It is behind Super in the original. There it is.
That's it. Yeah. There you go.
And then I would put probably Zero Mission.
Right.
And then, man, you got to put AM2R in there. That thing's fucking cool. I know that's not real, but that is cool.
It's not real, but it's awesome.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't want you to believe it exists.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've seen the internet.
Right, I've seen it.
I know how this works.
I know how it's
there. But if you haven't played AM2R,
right,
play that.
Play that, yeah.
That's fucking good.
Yeah, I haven't played it, yeah.
It's a really good Metroid game. But yeah, so the to kind of pull this back on track a little bit here,
sure,
the you know, Metroid Prime is, in essence, like, I think one of the great triumphs of Western-developed Nintendo I've ever heard of.
Right.
It put a studio on the map.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Can't say that they've gone on to do a lot that I like since then.
But,
you know. Reference our ReCore conversation.
Reference the ReCore.
But the thing about Metroid Prime is that it is a collection of all the kinds of boss battles that you've always loved. It's the exploration. It's the wonderment. It's the gating that you always liked.
Right.
Because once that initial space station blows up, the abilities is when they take all your weapons away.
Right.
And you start with just a blaster.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a double jump. Yeah. You don't have ball mode.
No. Nope.
You don't have missiles.
None of that.
You don't have anything.
Nothing.
You know, you don't have the ice laser. Yeah. Nothing.
You gotta shoot the crow statues and get them all back again. So.
And you basically start that game off, you know, with everything, get it taken away, and you just start exploring this world. The first time that you go through Metroid Prime 1 can take you 50 or 60 hours.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that thing, like, you just don't know what to do sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it actually, when I first played that game, I was actually frustrated by it. This was, well, way back when it first released.
It's easy to get confounded by that
game. It's very easy to get confounded. It's not like Turok easy to get confounded. Turok is the most, like, non-linear, non-conducive game to any sort of manual control whatsoever, but
it's the most pink fog of a game I've ever seen.
Christ, I know, yeah. But, it's not that bad, it's not bad by any means. When you get used to it, though, and it took me, I didn't play it, like, I was like, I don't really like this, and I put it down. It was my roommate at the time. I came back maybe a year later after it already been you know, he'd already been beaten it. Talked about it was great. I played it again and it sort of clicked a little bit better for me. I don't know what it was. I needed to set it down, set it aside. But when I started to play it, it kind of felt how that new Doom game feels to me, because it's very much like the retro game. It's very much like Super Metroid. It even has an exploding thing in the first 30 minutes of the game. And it has, you know, all these, like, sort of, like, beats that Super Metroid has. And Doom kind of feels that way, because, like, oh, new enemies will spawn in, and it's just, like, a new type of enemy with different patterns, different things to do. That's what the original Doom was. It just looks way cooler, and is way cooler to play in a modern system, so it had a lot of that. Like you said, like, you know, the monster eating your ball, like, eating you when you're in ball mode, and then just slam on the bombs and blow them up. That's a very, like, that's something you'd do to Kraid or something like that. Like, it's like that sort of, oh, you can only use missiles against this guy. Oh, you don't want to use missiles against this guy because he will F you up. You can only use charge shot. You know, stuff like that. What was the crocodile dude? What was his name? From Super Metroid, where you had to push him back into the lava. He had no health bar. You literally just had to like push him back. It's like Krakasaur or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
For some reason, the only name that's popping in my mind is Ripley, just because it's stolen.
Yeah, Ripley and Kraid are the only two that I heard. Yeah, Ripley. Yeah, Ridley and Kraid are the only two. So, but yeah, I forget his name. But yeah, you had to push him back into the thing. There's the boss battles feel that way. It's really cool. And I also didn't realize that there was like lock-on targeting for a lot of the things in my first playthrough, so I was just firing at nothing. So that was foolish of me. I should have
I don't often talk about like, you know, best Christmas ever or something like that. But I think one of the most shocked I've ever been, like, my parents always told me, like, even because I was graduated from high school at this point.
Right.
Yeah. I was working a job. I was getting ready to go to college. You know, I took a year off after high school.
Sure.
And, but it was always, okay, you can go out and buy whatever you want to buy. I was living on my own at this time and buying video games and all that. It's like, leave three or four things so that, you know, we can, you know, give some people some ideas. You may not get everything. You may not get anything on the list, but just we know you like video games. We want to be able to buy you one.
Right, yeah.
So I had put Metroid Prime Fusion and Metroid Prime on there.
Right.
My grandparents got me both of them.
Nice. There you go.
And so the day after Christmas, I went out and bought a Link cable, and I was fucking hype. I was fucking hype.
Would you say best Christmas ever?
Fuck. It was damn near close, man.
That's awesome.
I spent all Christmas Day, because I was at my grandparents' house.
Right.
So I spent all Christmas Day playing on my Game Boy Advance, Metroid Fusion. I'm like, oh, this is so good. Yeah, so good.
Fusion's a fun game, too. I got to play a little bit of that. I need to go back and play. I would love to go back and play through that whole thing. But
I've got the cart if you've got a GBA.
I do. I have an SP. So yeah,
you can borrow my cart.
Nice.
Because I have it on my 3DS XL.
So. Phenomenal. I would love to play that.
But yeah, so like that was definitely one of my most fond memories. Like, I know this is blasphemy to most people, but like, I played Metroid and I played Metroid 2. I didn't get Super Metroid.
Really?
I didn't play that game until way later.
Wow. There you go.
I was a late adopter of the SNES. I had a Genesis.
Sure, you had a Genesis. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we've had that discussion on here before. Yeah.
I was a late adopter. I didn't actually play that until the PlayStation was out.
Wow. Yeah, that's way late.
And but still loved it. So, like, being able to play Super Metroid, and then, like, a year and a half later, being able to play Symphony of the Night, you're like, fuck yes!
Oh, my God! This is amazing! Symphony of the Night.
I definitely feel like when they were making Symphony of the Night, somebody was like, man, remember Super Metroid?
You guys remember Super Metroid?
Because most people don't remember that, other than the fact that it's called Metroidvania, until Symphony of the Night, they don't do that.
No. There was nothing. Now there's all sorts of games that have that formula. All sorts of
games. I was actually playing one earlier. Have you seen anything on Axiom Verge?
Axiom Verge. No, I haven't seen that.
I will show you that after this podcast.
Okay.
You would love this game. It's Super Metroid.
Oh, really? Is it? Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. I will check that out. Definitely. Yes. But yeah, like you said, that Metroidvania style, I think the reason it's called Metroidvania, instead of just Metroid style, is because nothing else did it except for Metroid.
Well, Simon's
Quest did, but it was bad at it.
but I think that, like, when people are like, oh, what's Metroid like? Oh, it's like one of those games kind of like Simon's Quest.
That's true. That's
or
true.
I what's Simon's Quest like? It's kind of like Metroid.
Kind of like Metroid. Yeah, that's true. So there's a Metroidvania style. But that popularized it. Symphony of the Night just took that into the new level and was just like, oh yeah, this can be really awesome. Yeah,
until Symphony of the Night, you weren't filling a map.
Exactly. You weren't filling a map until then. And then you had and then stuff still comes out today. Guacamelee is a Metroidvania. Just name me some.
Axiom Verge.
There's plenty of stuff.
Insanely Twisted
Shadow Planet. That was another one. There's tons of those things. Where you go through, you get upgrades, which allow you to advance to a second part of the game. But not just advance, it gives you a moveset that allows you to advance to something, and therefore you can use the moveset wherever else.
I have one thing to say about Metroid Prime that I haven't said yet.
Sure,
the game has the most badass, totally usable, totally makes sense fucking 3D map I have ever seen in a video game.
Right? Yeah, it's really good.
It fucking makes sense and it works!
Yeah!
Holy shit!
Where the fuck did... Where'd they shelve that?
Like, nobody else can fucking do it.
Yeah, like,
here we are, 14 years later, nobody can do it. Every time I see one, I'm like, fucking useless.
God damn, it's garbage, it's trash. Can we get those people
Guess
back?
What? Never going back into that screen again, because I'll never know how to fucking work it.
Call up Retro Studios so I can understand, what the fuck this is.
No, call Retro Studios to show up with a fucking roadmap on how to make a map that goddamn works.
Yeah, where's the guy that put that on the shelf and was just like, hey, I don't think we need this anymore. No, we do. We all need it. Everybody.
Help.
Give it, like, open source that bitch. Let's just get it on here. Oh, man. That'd be great. That'd be crazy.
God, I was playing a game earlier this year. I wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah.
But as soon as I opened the map, I said, I will never hit that button again.
Well, saw that.
Useless to me.
Don't need to see that ever again.
The game made me do it, and guess what? Never doing it again.
I am honestly shocked at how good the lock-on is. How good the grapple gun is in that. The grappling hook is very fluid. It doesn't feel like you're like I have to aim. Oh man.
Well, and just like it pans down when you're jumping, it will pan up if there's another hook.
Yes. If there's another hook, it'll
there's
pan.
There's context clues for everything.
Yes. It's really well done. No boss.
Really? Yeah. The segments where you rear in ball mode and you roll onto the plate.
Yeah.
And you have to spin
to get,
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Oh, good times with that game. You know, I never beat it, I don't think I ever beat that game. I need to go back and play that.
You have the whole trilogy.
I need to go back and play that.
You have the whole trilogy.
You've told me.
You have the whole trilogy.
I gotcha.
Gave you the whole trilogy.
That's true. I will go back and I will play that to completion, let's say.
You need a Wii remote and a nunchuck.
Yeah, you need a nunchuck. I do have a Wii remote. Tim has one. My roommate has one. So
get you a nunchuck.
Get a nunchuck. We got those. So, but yeah, it's no boss battles the same, which I think is really awesome. That it's not just fire and shoot. It's not just strafe and shoot.
Nope.
You have to literally. I think, man, is it the last boss that's like super freaking hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that last boss is insane.
Yeah.
You have to, oh, man. I remember you had to
And the boss rush you have to do near the end of the game, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have a boss rush, too. Oh, man.
Yeah, that game is old school. As much as people were like, oh, new school bullshit, that is the most old school fucking game you can play.
It really is. It translated that formula to a different. Style of gameplay, sometimes they're able to do that really well. The old school way of Mario translating to being a well-controlled 3D model in Mario 64, it's not as tight controls as, like, say, Mario 3 or anything, but it's different and it feels unique to what Mario is now, because his movement is more fluid. He can do more things because it's a 3D world. It just makes sense.
In real-world terms, I would describe Metroid Prime as this.
Yeah.
Muscle car companies.
Right.
Have been in this hot and heavy race to, we're going to remake this car that we made in the 60s. We're going to evoke all of this style, bring back everything that you love, the horsepower, the sound, you know, the stripped down luxury, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But we're going to put a new coat of paint on it. We're going to make it look modern while retro.
Right.
That is Metroid Prime.
That is Metroid Prime.
It's a modern muscle car that is harking back to the 60s.
Yeah, with a tight stick shift that just feels mwah, you know.
Yes.
Like, that's what it is. It's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah. I like that game a lot. It was
one of the best games ever made.
It was interesting to me because, like, I remember not liking it, and for a full year I was like, yeah, that game sucks, right? And I was like, no, that game's amazing. What's wrong with you?
Like, I was like, go back and play that again.
And no, that's what I'm saying. And then a year later after
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like,
everybody's like, I don't think you played enough of that.
You should probably go back. I was like, all right, I guess I will. And then I was just like, oh, feeling. I guess I was just in the wrong mindset or something, and I was just like, oh, this isn't translating well at all. I don't know what it was, but it was a solid game. But never beat it though. I saw it beat. My friend beat it, and that was hard.
I'll say this: like the Metroid Prime trilogy, you can get it on the Wii U. It's like $15 or something, and you get all three games.
Right.
You play them all with the Wii remote. It just like 3 was a Wii remote game.
Sure.
I think those controls work perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But gun to my head, I would still play the GameCube version, but you are not getting a bad experience playing that Wii game.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that is... There is no classic controller support or anything like that. You have to play it with the Wii remote and nunchuck. But that version works perfectly fine. I played 1, 2, and 3 to complete completion on that Wii game.
Yeah.
Like just last year, I was like, well, here's my nights and weekends for the next few weeks.
That's what this is.
It was the middle of the summer. What the fuck else was I going to do?
I mean, you know, Metroid Prime.
Earlier this year, I played 400 hours of Fire Emblem. So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
So, would it be safe to say, Haas, that this is, in fact, your favorite Metroid game, period? So, since it's one of your favorite games of all time.
Oh, do I like this more than Echoes?
Ooh, Echoes. Okay.
Metroid Prime 2 is really good.
Oh, man. I didn't know you had such high regard for a lot of Metroid games.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
3's fine.
Sure, yeah.
3 has great level design.
Right.
But they inject too much story into it.
Right.
Too much spoken dialogue, and you're like,
shut up.
I should just be finding dialogues after you're dead, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just want to find your fucking logbook that you left behind that says, well, I'm about to be murdered. Here's a passcode.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Here's a trophy. Tough call, is it? Oh, man.
Are we saying 3D Metroid, or are we saying Metroid period?
Well, let's say Metroid period. Why not?
Fuck, make Fusion's it, so good!
Let's make it even harder for you.
Oh, Fusion's so... Oh, Zero Mission's so good!
Oh, man. Yeah. You know what? We should do one of our definitive order things for this, actually. We should do, because we mentioned doing, like, a definitive order of, like, you know, like, that's, we're going to do this, and we're going to make that order. We should do one of the Metroid games, just, like, top 5 Metroid games. That's the definitive order of them.
Okay, here's the ones I'll say have to be in the list.
Okay.
Okay, and we can go from here.
All right, cool.
Super.
Super.
Fusion.
Fusion.
Prime 1.
Prime 1.
Prime 2.
Prime 2. Echoes.
Well, that's Prime 2.
Oh, that's... I'm sorry. Yeah, Echoes. Yeah, that's Prime 2. Apologize. And...
Zero Mission.
Okay, there you go. That's the 5, huh?
Because Zero Mission is the remake of 1.
That's it, yeah.
It's way better on the GBA.
Right,
but
yeah.
But it is a Metroid... There's no reason to play Metroid anymore.
You know what? I'm gonna ask our listeners. Of those 5, I want you to rank them. I want you to rank those. And if you think we're wrong on any of those, which you're wrong... if you think you're wrong on any of those, inject that one as well.
I can't decide between my children. I'm just going to give you... I'm not going to give you a numbered list. I'm just going to give you 5. If you feel the need to put those in a numbered list, you can go ahead and do that.
If you had to shoot one of your children in the face, let's not go there.
Nope. That's a Sophie's choice.
That's a Sophie's choice, as we know. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode. We covered Metroid.
Man, I fucking love Metroid!
Metroid's rad, dude. Metroid is rad.
Turn on the PlayStation!
Turn it on!
Let's play some Axiom Verge!
Play some Axiom Verge. We'll do that after this podcast. But first, let's plug our social medias, because that's always important.
All right.
Check us out at Facebook, at Video Destruct. We also have a live stream coming up on October 29th. It's October 29th, the weekend of Halloween. We're going to be doing a live stream 24/7. You know, we're going to be doing...
No, 24.
24, sorry, not 7.
24.
24, yeah, not...
If we're doing 7, that's fucking you.
We're not doing that. Yeah, sorry. We're doing 24 hours live stream. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of guests on. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. And it's for Cosair Children's Hospital. We're trying to raise 2,500. That's right, because we got over 2,000 last time. 2,500 this year. We're trying to raise that much. Should be a good time. Come check us out on that. But for now...
I've been streaming a lot lately. Twitch.tv/VideoDestruct.
Yes. Check out our Twitch channel.
Check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/VideoDestruct.
Yep. And also the Facebook at VideoDestruct. And at VideoDestruct on Twitter. And Haas has a Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter! at Hoss underscore buddy, B-U-D-D-Y. Mm-hmm. I talk to wrestlers.
Very true, guys. But that's it for this episode of Video Struck Podcast. We'll see you next time.